Hey, everybody, it's Doug, producer of The Mighty Peculiar, and I was told to give you a message before I present Denver's speech at the North Dakota Democratic State Convention. Mighty Peculiar, as you know it, of course, doesn't exist anymore, but that doesn't mean you should delete or unfollow anything, because we have a really big announcement coming. I only found out about it about 14 hours ago, but it's happening, and it's something we've been working towards even peripherally for about a year. So that's all I can say. It's all I'm allowed to say right now. But I promise it's going to be great. And you're going to get lots of content on the Patreon and this feed. It's going to sort of act as a back channel of that thing that's about to be announced. But that's all I'm allowed to say about it. So let's move on to the speech. So last week, Denver spoke at the North Dakota Democratic State Convention. He collaborated with Matt on the speech, and between those words and Denver's vamping, he had whipped the crowd into quite a frenzy, which you can hear. You can hear it, especially toward the end of the speech, even through like the noise gate that's on the mic itself. And that's sort of like when it suddenly goes quiet after Denver's speaking, that's just a device that keeps the mic from feedbacking. Unfortunately, it cuts some of the crowd noise off too, but you can make it out. You can definitely hear the crowd's like way into it. And so much so that at the end of the speech, Denver ended up signing a copy with his handwritten notes and giving it away. I think you even hear like someone is asking the MC for copies of the speech. You know, that's quite a thing, especially like if you're a Republican speaking at a Democratic shindig, if you will. So enjoy the speech and look out for that announcement.
Well, I want to tell you all, it's an honor to be here, and I think I'd be in a lot more danger at a GOP convention right now. So I do appreciate it, and thank you. I don't know, Scotland and I are homies. So, you know, same mountain. So, Scotland, thank you so much. And so I have a lot to talk about, but before I do, I don't know if anybody knows my background. You know, I was a former Republican congressman, and I'm glad that all fruits and vegetables have been sequestered so you can't throw them at me. So I'm very excited about that. But also, you know, I was on the J6 committee. So I got to see a lot of the J6 data, but I also did something else. I don't know if all of you are aware of, but I did the forensics on Hunter Biden's laptops and devices. So I also, our forensic team actually did all the data discovery for Hunter Biden, and I became fairly close to the family. So today we have a special guest that I want to actually show the video. Now we had to splice it a little bit because he tried to do it on the road, but I do have a special video I want to show everybody. Without further ado, I hope it's seamless because we had to do it very quick, and I'm so happy they answered my call. We're going to show a video to all you right now, and I hope you like it. Thank you.
Our republic is under threat from political extremism and the forces of political division. You all are on the front lines of the fight. Thank you for everything you do for our democracy. I also want to address an issue that has been on my mind lately. Aliens. I know you will have many questions, but for now I can reveal to you and to the world that we are not alone. After I was elected, Jill and I were microdosing on the rooftop of the White House. That's when we saw the bright lights. Before I knew it, man, we were welcoming visitors from outer space who for more than 2 years have been advising me. We've got a lot to learn from our interstellar visitors. They have brought us knowledge about advanced intergalactic republics, about celestial direct democracies, and their space psychedelics put our simple Earth shrooms to shame. So today, I want you to know that my administration is reaching for the stars. Thank you for your work. God bless America, and God bless our new interstellar overlords. Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe that wasn't real. I know. So a little bit of AI. So going back about threats to our democracy, I want to give you my background really quickly. They said to try to speak for 30 minutes. I usually like to be brief. I actually have a written speech, which I usually hate following if anybody was in the question and answer period this morning. We sort of have a lot of fun. But there's a seriousness to this that there's points that I definitely want to get to. And the fact that I'm here with all of you, what an honor. How humbling. And what is it about you that allows me to be here Where if you think about a former Democratic congressman, what would they be? How would they be received at a GOP convention right now? So for me, it looks to me like the Democratic Party right now is big enough to accept somebody like me. And I think that's an amazing testament to all of you. So, you know, I'm a pretty big get, right? It's very, you know, I'm very famous. I am the tool of the Antichrist. I just want you guys to know that you did get the aspiring tool of the Antichrist, which I was called after I officiated a same-sex wedding in July of 2019. I was also called the General of the Sodomite Armies, which was pretty original. But then it got to the point that I was actually accused of changing the sexual orientation of children. After that, my wife was actually accused of funneling money for George Soros. Now, I would love to see that money. That would be fantastic. But she was called the spawn of Satan. So with me as the tool of the Antichrist, my wife is the spawn of Satan. You have the most powerful couple in the United States right now. So, which is a lot of fun. I'm sorry. So what is my background? My background, really, Congressman was just my cover. I did 20 years of counterterrorism. I did data analytics. I worked for the National Security Agency. I supported special operations. I supported Air Force special projects. I was an Air Force officer. I was also Air Force enlisted. So if there's any military individuals out here, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your service. But know that I appreciate what you've done. So now I was Air Force. I was a Mustang. So is there Army, Marine, or Navy here? Could you raise your hands? Are you here? Thank you. I'll talk in very small words since you guys were in the other services. Thank you. I appreciate you all. So you're probably expecting a political speech. And I'm going to read a little bit now. I'm actually pretty good at this. But there's going to be things that I actually inject. You already know that I was a senior technical advisor on the January 6th committee. I saw all the data from Hunter Biden's laptops. I was able to see the non-forensic chain of custody and the people that actually put bad things in that data. I've actually been in 9/11. I deployed 10 days after 9/11. I was on the Romanian-Serbian border for Operation Allied Force when I was tracking Russians. And in 2000, I actually trained Omanis in F-16 operations. So my background has always been in tech, data, and facts-based insights. So you are probably expecting a political speech, which is understandable since we're at a political convention. And I am a former Republican congressman, proudly elected to represent Virginia's 5th District, until I was expelled from the Republican Party for having some truly outrageous beliefs. Like, for example, that same-sex couples should enjoy the legal right to marry. A quick pro tip. Thank you. By the way, I also made sure it was an interracial same-sex wedding. I wanted to cover all my bases. Thank you very much. I love these guys too. They're just so special. And here's a quick pro tip. If you're looking to rise in the ranks of the Republican Party, it's best not to support same-sex marriage. You especially don't want to, as I happily did, officiate a same-sex wedding, which really would put everything over the edge for me. Now, say you're looking to rise in the ranks of human decency, then by all means, support same-sex marriage. One would think this shouldn't be a controversial stance, but just 4 years ago, it was enough to get me booted from the Republican Party. To be fair, the party and I were probably going to break up anyway, seeing as I firmly believe that vaccines save lives. I know, controversial. That on January 6, 2021, was an attempted insurrection by former President Donald Trump. And that President Joe Biden was legitimately elected to his first term in office. So I don't want a standing ovation on this one, but this is going to rock the world a little bit. Here, you ready for this? And that President Joe Biden deserves to be reelected to a second term this November. Unfortunately, this will not be an easy task. And I don't mean it in a way that on some level, all elections are hard-fought battles. That sort of stuff is to be expected. The general life cycle of a presidential election is so well known to us all that we can practically hear the news sound bites now. This state is red. This state is blue. Oh, but that one over there is trending in an unusual direction. So it's going to be contested by both candidates. Contested. Take it from a man who owns a whiskey distillery. You do not want to revolve a drinking game around the word contested in a presidential election year. If you do, odds are you won't make it to election day. Not that I know that from experience. But and if death wasn't bad enough, your name would still be on the voter roll. And if you happen to have cast your ballot early, you open yourself up to being labeled as one of those dead people voter Steve Bannon claims are always electing Democrats. You know what the main problem is with contested states? It takes forever and it's hard. You've got to deploy a team of campaign workers to each state. You've got to learn about the voters, what they like, what they hate, polling, crosstabs, fundraising. What will it take to motivate them to show up when the time comes and vote affirmatively for you? It's a lot of work, and there are no guarantees that the outcome will favor you. Now, imagine you are something of a morally vacuous narcissist who once was president and would like to be president again for reasons that are less about stewarding this amazing country into the future and more about, you know, I lost my spot. You know, here's the thing. That was real. That wasn't planned, by the way. Here's the issue when I want to talk for 30 minutes and why I get angry. This is one of the best speeches that my guy has ever written, and I'll probably pick it back up at the end because there's some things in here that are amazing. But we're talking about a conspiratorial push to take our elections away from us based on fantasy. And that pisses me off. My guess is that nobody in here believes that space lasers changes votes. My guess is nobody in here believes that Hugo Chavez actually created an algorithm through his Venezuelan scientists that actually was broken and actually added votes to Donald Trump's at 2 o'clock in the morning over Joe Biden. My guess is there's nobody who believes here that NSA had a secret program called Hammer and Scorecard that were manipulating votes. My guess is nobody in here believed there were German server farms that we actually had to attack. My guess is people don't believe, like Jenny Thomas believes, the wife of Clarence Thomas, if you ever heard of her, that there's QFS blockchain marked ballots that can easily be read with secret readers by the National Guard and that they're going to arrest Joe Biden and send him to Gitmo. I bet nobody in here believes that. Nobody. When I was on the January 6th committee, and I was looking at what was happening there, we were the team that broke the Mark Meadows text. That was me. It was our team. We're the ones who saw the Jenny Thomas text. We saw all this. You know, a lot of times I say crazy is not party specific. But I'll tell you right now, the GOP is in a hold my beer moment. Unlike UFOs, there are sane Republicans that exist. I know it's hard to believe. Hi, Liz. Hey, Adam. And listen, I served in Congress, so I'm going to tell you all, because I don't want you guys to like me too much. There were some crazy Democrats, I want to say. However, there are people who claim to be Democrats that are not, that are crazy like RFK Jr. And we all know how the left is different from the right, and the right is different from the left. And I'm going to tell you right now, the left now, and I'm not just talking about the left, independents, and there are never Trump Republicans, 20 to 30%, right? The left now has a lot of policy proposals and ideas. I see them. And the right has a guy who has declared eminent domain on the party and slapped his name all over it. So you see how they're different. But what differentiates sane from crazy in a partisan context? Well, first, and I'd argue most importantly, sane believes in reality, not a reality, not their version of reality, just reality. Sane is pro-reality. I suppose now is as good a time as any to state my bias. This is a partisan speech, after all. As I stated here on this stage, I'm proud to declare that I, Denver Riggleman, am a pro-reality partisan. Crazy is not pro-reality. Crazy is pro-delusion. Crazy thrives in nonsense, where everything is subject to revision and reinvention. Crazy can and will tell you with a straight face that the people at the Capitol on January 6th were somehow simultaneously peaceful tourists seeing the sights and a dangerous mob of Antifa agitators stealing an election. They hit you in the amygdala. Inconsistency is the key to conspiracy theories. It's a feature, not a bug. Inconsistency is a feature, not a bug. But it can't be both. But it doesn't matter. That's just how crazy rolls. Crazy also has more energy than sane. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. Sane does have energy. Don't get me wrong. But sane parcels out its energy in measured and thoughtful ways. Sane likes to go to bed at a reasonable hour because it has some errands to run the next day. And it really would be better to get up early, start on them before the whole day slips away. Sane makes checklists, a lot of checklists, and is quietly proud of it because checklists represent intention and goals, which are two things sane loves to have. Now, crazy, on the other hand, deploys its energy differently. Crazy hasn't slept in 3, sometimes 4 days because it's been too busy composing manifestos. That's right, manifestos, plural. While expanding upon ways to identify and eliminate the threat posed by our reptilian overlords, crazy, this is not the typical political speech. I don't know if you've ever heard reptilian overlords in a political speech before, but I'm sure there's some Republicans who believe in them, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I think Crazy rearranges the furniture made entirely out of discarded wooden shipping pallets in order to make the energy flow inside the doomsday bunker that they also just happen to have built themselves. Feel a tad more homey. It's like some kind of insane feng shui. To crazy, that's the way things are done. To sane, to you, crazy is exhausting. And therein lies the fundamental problem. Crazy wins because it exhausts the sane. Crazy has no interest, nor do they have the capability in winning an argument on the merits. There is no way for them to provide conclusive proof that ballots laced with bamboo only counted the votes for Joe Biden. Nothing remotely like that happened. So their only true course of action is to rob others of their own ability to fight. For every absurd theory that gets roundly debunked, crazy injects 3 even more ridiculous ones into the discourse. The goal is not for one of the theories to be accepted as fact, but instead is to exhaust the debunkers to the point that they don't have the drive or energy to continue the fight. And as you're sitting there today, I want you to ask yourself a question. Have you been in arguments where you know you're correct, you're facts-based, you have the data and you have the truth, and it's so crazy, the energy is so exhausting that you back up and say whatever you think? I'm going to give you guys permission because I am the tool of the Antichrist, but I think the permission is this. It's okay to be compassionately confrontational. It's okay to push back. And it's not tomorrow. It's not Wednesday. It's not Thursday. It's not May. It's not June. It's July. It's today. And when you leave here, I would hope, because I had to come by it through very hard knocks. I had to come by it by, is it really as nutty as I think it is? I'm telling you it is. And if somebody's going to come up to you and tell you the election was stolen one more time, at some point, I would hope, even with compassion, whatever you need to do, say, listen, I really, really want you to think about what you're saying, because how in the world was Joe Biden elected on a fake ballot and Marjorie Taylor Greene was actually elected on the same ballot? We have to push through the exhaustion, folks. And believe me, I know the exhaustion from combating crazy firsthand. At this point, exhaustion and I are particularly old drinking buddies. Crazy has so many built-in advantages. There's only one reality for crazy to target and attack, and it's a reality that crazy doesn't particularly care for, likely due to its total lack of super intelligent, highly specific vote-switching satellites from Italy. Why did I write this like this? I tried to put in all the conspiracy theories you guys could fight because I wanted a speech that wasn't completely political, but this is pretty awesome, if I may say so myself. It's a country sinister enough to elect the ghost of Hugo Chavez, president minister, that only affect the top of the ticket results. And as I said, and I want to reiterate this to all of you, if somebody talks to you about a stolen election, why did the Republicans take the House in the same year that Joe Biden had algorithms give him the election based on a deep state and globalist threat? That's your argument, and you'll win it every time. For crazies, inconsistencies aren't a problem. They're a superpower. You just saw President Biden address us based on his use of shrooms with aliens on top of the White House. There are some people who would believe that. And what is this stuff coming out? I call it a blitzkrieg of bullshit. Is that going to be censored? And by the way, I'm sorry to the parents. I should have said this was PG-13 when I started. I apologize. We often hear news analysts talk about the Democratic Party being made up of many different coalitions that at times can be quite volatile. My guess is not everybody in here agrees. Am I correct to say that? Probably not, right? However, you're standing against certain types of people, and I want to get to this very quickly. Even if you disagree, nothing compares to crazy. Because crazy stitches together alliances the sane wouldn't dare dream of. The people who believe the earth is flat stand shoulder to shoulder with those who think a lost civilization rides dinosaurs in the hollow earth. Not that Mike Johnson would believe that. And I know that you're thinking, but no, Speaker Mike Johnson is not a dinosaur rider. He does want to make America the Stone Age again, but that's not the same. Thank you. You know, if I had a bourbon, I'd say cheers. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. The flat earthers and the hollow earthers should be mortal enemies if they truly believe their theories. Both cannot simultaneously exist. Incompatible doesn't even begin to cover it. They shouldn't be teamed up. They should be fighting each other on the battlefield of facts. Yet it's left to the pro-reality partisans to fight both. It's exhausting. You are the pro-reality partisans. And what I'm asking of you today is to use that facts-based knowledge, what you know, the fact that you read and look at data, the fact that you go to sources that are actually vetted. I promise you that YouTube doesn't always have the best videos, okay? But you can see aliens there, and it's a lot of fun. It's really this way. Our pro-reality army are the only ones that can kick the pro-fantasy's ass. That's really what it comes down to. And if you're not ready to do this now in 2024, I really suggest to you that maybe you shouldn't be a part of it, because right now it's a time for courage of convictions. This is the courage of convictions specific election. It's the courage election. And the fact that you're here in a state where I think you're barely outnumbered by the Republicans, the fact that you're actually here, what does that say about you? And I'm not trying to automatically flatter all of you out here. What does it say about you that you're sitting here? Why are you here? Why did you come listen to me today, a former Republican? Why are you here voting on delegates? What are you doing? You have no chance to win. What are you here for? You have no chance to win. That's the spirit, baby. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Don't quit. Even though it looks like there's no way out, don't quit. Think of the cascading effects of your efforts now for your kids. Think of the efforts for your grandkids. Think of the efforts for you. Think of your siblings. Do you have siblings that automatically tell you that Donald Trump is ordained to be our leader? Do you have siblings or friends to say that Donald Trump actually won the election? Are you afraid to engage? I was afraid for 8 months. And you don't get over that. You lose sleep. It destroys your soul. You take votes you don't want to take. Because you know what they tell you? You know what my consultants told me? They said you have to be a little crazy to be crazier. Or where does that end? What ends here? It ends now. And I think right now, The fact, again, that you would invite me, the honor that I have to stand here as a former Republican, somebody who still doesn't have a D behind my name, somebody who proudly says I'm independent, you all gave me your time today. And for that, I am humbled. I'm sort of overwhelmed that you would do this. And I have to say, you're here because even though you think you might lose in North Dakota, the way that you argue, the way that you fight could have a ripple effect across this entire country. And that's why you're here, because you love America. Thank you. Thank you. I wish the speech was over. A little anticlimactic now, don't you think? I feel like I should start karaoke now, you know? So I'll end with this then. I didn't know if I took 30 minutes, and if I didn't, I hope you guys are happy with that. I'm going to make a plea to you. I wrote this when I was coming up. I want you to be a pro-reality partisan that engages the blitzkrieg of bullshit with compassionate confrontation. Don't be afraid to fight. The battlefield is the voter. The battlefield is digital. The battlefield must belong to the coalition of the sane. It's about the courage of convictions. Thank you, and I trust your courage, and you all have a great day.
Thank you so much. We now move to our, we have the power panel with our executive director, Cheryl Biller, and our communications director, Laura Dronin.
Chairman, publicly,
yes?
Would you arrange
to have that speech sent to every Democrat in the state of North Carolina? Yes. Yes, I think that everything is being filmed, the good and the bad, so we'll censor out some of the language later.